Let's lift your hands and let's worship. We worship you. Worship him. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. We honor you. We adore you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Thank you for causing a very heavy rain to advertise and introduce this program of the Rain of Revival. We believe that this is very, very highly prophetic. And we believe that not one person will leave here dry. Not one person will leave here empty. Not one person will leave here bankrupt. Not one person will leave here stranded. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands, open your mouth, and just pray in the Spirit for the next 2-3 minutes. 3 minutes. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Word here tonight. Let not one person leave here the same way they have come. We look up to you, Father, because we know you hear us all the time. And you have heard us again. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand as you take your seat. In the precious name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I'd like to welcome everyone here today who have come from nations of the world at this, let me call it almost pre-convention session. We have people who have come already from Cameroon, from Zambia, from the United Kingdom, from Italy, from Gambia, from Namibia, from the United States of America, from Ireland, Saudi Arabia, Chad, Libya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, France, Belgium, Togo, Benin Republic, Thailand, Canada, Gabon, Liberia, Kenya, already 22 countries. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. 22 nations of the world. More still coming. And we say to God be all the praise. If you came from another country, can you stand on your feet and just wave your hands to the King of Kings? Those who are here already tonight, just wave your hands to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Some are waving their flags. Give the Lord the praise. I wonder where the camera is looking. Over right here. Give the Lord the praise. Father, we give you the praise and we give you the honor and we give you the adoration and we give you the worship. The group is here. Majority of them are sitting right there. Father, we give you the praise. I believe that not one person will live here the same way you have come. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Tonight, we shall be preparing the ground. It's a bit different from how our conferences have gone before. But the Bible says that they are new every morning. And great is His faithfulness. Genesis 32, verse 24, all the way to verse 28. And Jacob wrestled, was left alone. And they wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. The subject is positioning for a divine encounter or visitation. Positioning for a divine encounter or visitation. We are here for a week of encounters, a week of visitation. The objective of this teaching is understanding what it takes to maximize seasons of visitation. Understanding what it takes to maximize seasons of visitation. Anything from tomorrow morning, tomorrow evening, afternoon sessions, all the way to Friday, all the way to Sunday. It will be a downpour of light, downpour of insight, downpour of divine encounters. What do I do in order for my stay here not to be wasted? What do I do in order to maximize this season of visitation? What do I do in order not to watch while others have tangible experiences with God? There are seven things that I'll be looking at tonight that makes a person not to miss divine visitation. Number one requirement, one, is the perception of need. Perceiving your need for an encounter. Perceiving your need for a visitation. It is true that perception affects possession. It is true that answers only respond to questions. It is true that answers only respond to questions. It is true that solution only happens for challenges. There must be the perception of the need. Where we read, Jacob perceived his need. Here he was going to face Esau after 21 years. And he knew he had no capacity in his physical personality to face Esau. Lord, I can't face Esau like this. Jabez, in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9, perceived his need. His brethren called him Jabez because his mother called him Jabez because he said, I bear him in sorrow. And Jabez approached the God of Israel for answers. There are those who have come here because every year is ministers' conference. And as they have come here because every year is ministers' conference, they may go back home just having passed through a ministers' conference. There are some who have come here for religious tourism. There are different kinds of tourism, maybe medical tourism and so on. This is religious. But God does not respond to religion. God responds to passion. The worst thing that can happen to anybody is to be in need and not be aware. Have you identified your need? What necessitated your being here? Worst thing that can happen to anybody is to have a need and not be aware. To be a pastor with a need and you are not aware. While we proceed right now, it is very important to perceive your need. I know things are working for me, but there is this one area that I need God to fix. I am doing well in every realm. I am trying. I don't have problem with finances in ministry. I don't have problem with capacity to preach or teach. But I'm struggling with growth. I don't know what to do to reach out to the lost and to establish. I don't know what it to do to explode the church. And it's very, very important for the need to be perceived. If you don't know, you can ask God, what do I need now? Solomon perceived his need. I am a king now. Everybody thinks I am a king, but I am in need of wisdom. I know I need strategy. I know I need understanding. I know people may be clapping for me, but I know what I need. People may think I'm successful, but I know what I need. Don't forget what I said. answers only happen for questions. Solution only happens for challenges. So the first thing that must happen is the perception of need. What makes a madman mad is that he has needs that he is not aware of. He needs to be clothed, he doesn't know. He is already dirty, he is not aware. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you say he needs a psychiatrist, he's laughing at you. Me and this psychiatrist, why? The worst thing that can happen to anybody, I think it is actually good to describe it as insanity, when a person is in need and he's not aware. The perception of need. Number two is sensitivity to divine timing. Sensitivity to divine timing. God is a God of purpose, but He's also a God of seasons. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. He said, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. He's a God of purpose, but He's also a God of seasons. It is one thing to understand purpose, but it is critical to understand season. It is the marriage of purpose and season that gives birth to destiny. It's very, very important. And we're talking about knowing that you are in a season of visitation, a season of encounter. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Supposing the day of Pentecost came and they were not there. For many people, their day of Pentecost came and they were not aware. The problem was not that God did not send a visitation. The problem is that God sent a visitation and the people He sent the visitation to were not aware of the visitation. This is International Ministers Flaming Fire Conference. It is a prophetic season for pastors to catch fire and inflame their communities and inflame their nations. It's a season. It's a season. Are you aware? Is God speaking to somebody here? There must be that thing. So that we don't, it is not religion. There must be that sensitivity. I am sure you know the challenge of Israel. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Luke 19, 41 to 44. And when he was come near the city, he beheld the city and wept over it. There are people that God is crying over now, saying, if you have known, even you, at least in this your day, the things which belong to your peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. For the days shall come upon you that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep you in on every side and shall lay you even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in you one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. You will not miss your time. That amen is not good enough. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. If you are saying amen, shout a louder believer, say amen. We are in a season, not just because there is a conference, but we are in a season because there is a desperate need on the earth. Am I communicating? There is a desperate need on the earth. There was a revival that came in the days of Smith Wigglesworth and the days of Charles Price and the days of men like that and John Gillick. This revival came at the end of a very, very great depression that hit the world at the turn of the century. Another revival came after the earth was ravaged by the Second World War of 1945 to 1947. And from 1947, 48, 49, and so on, people like Oral Roberts and so came forth in a move of God to repair the earth from the ravages of the enemy. We are at another junction like that, what they call Corona Demon. That is ravaging the earth, closing down churches, closing down countries. The major target of that devil is the gospel. There are many things that can happen online, but church must happen physically. He said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared physically before the Lord. And there is this ravaging and damaging of the earth by this devil. There are people here whose whole ministry is evangelistic. They don't have a church base. They have to organize crusades. And then when they say social distancing, you should put face masks and all those kind of things, and in fact no public gathering, then that is an attack on your ministry. Am I communicating at all? Even church is meeting gradually. I was talking with the Royal Bunky Crusade director the other time, and for as long as, I don't know if they have started crusades yet, but the crusades are not happening. Because, I mean, any country, it's a foreign, I mean, it's a missionary evangelistic ministry. Which stranger is coming to open our country up? And so a whole ministry tied down because of a demon. We are at a season where something must explode. We are at a season where something must explode. We are at a season where something must explode. And it is important to discern the season. The world, the whole earth is hurting. People are in bondage. People are in chains. Vaccinated people are still dying like flies. They still have to wear masks because they can still infect people. Then you are wondering what was the aim of everything. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? So we are at that strategic junction. Beyond that, there is a revival of the fake and the inauthentic. Centers that have no business with the gospel springing up like fire. Some of them opening up in the cities where you are. And we live in a generation with bankruptcy of discernment, where nobody knows the difference between the real and the unreal, between the authentic and the synthetic. So, one of the things that must happen for anybody to experience a visitation or an encounter, please take your seat, is to be sensitive to the time. Sensitivity to divine timing. That we are in a strategic timing, a strategic juncture, where something must erupt. And it shall erupt. We have had many crusades this year. And if you have the Jalingo Crusade clip, you can play it on the screen for us. We have had many crusades this year. But when we got to the northeast, northeast is the headquarter, is where the terrorists in this country headquarter their headquarters. It is where all manner of, it is where they plan and plot and do all the things they do. We went to Jalingo Crusade. And that stadium was filled on the first night before opening prayer. And then, stadium began to overflow. By the second night, there was overflow outside the stadium. There was no third night. And people had traveled 11 hours, 7 hours, to come for crusade on the third night that had closed. Where we poured oil on the ground, they dug the earth, anointing the ground against the power of terrorism. That was where I just, the light, as if a light bulb turned on in my head. That this place is a place where the enemy has done so much devastation. And this place is a place where God is doing massive visitation. Are you following what I'm saying here today? That was why I told you, after the Second World War, there was a massive revival. Wherever there is drastic physical need, it creates drastic hunger for God. It creates drastic passion. And now the whole world is challenged everywhere with all manner of terrible things. And we are in a season where visitation must happen. And we must be sensitive to this timing. What is? How do we position for a divine encounter and visitation? Number 3 is positioning at the right location. Positioning at the right location. Please, it should be made very clear that divine visitations are location sensitive. They are location specific. God can walk everywhere. But there are things that God does in concentrated measures at certain places. The ladder was not set up from the earth to heaven for Jacob everywhere. He lighted on a certain place. And in that place, Genesis chapter 28, from verse 10, 11, that particular place, the ladder, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place. He tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took off the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached the heavens. This was the first, only, and last place Jacob experienced a thing like this, because he was at the place where such things should be experienced. Am I communicating? When God wanted to deal with him afresh, in Genesis 35, he asked him to return back to Bethel, to this same place. He said, go back. I want to do some things with you, but go back to Bethel, the place where you made an altar the first time. Because that place is visitation sensitive. Am I communicating? Many people waste their life, waste their time without spiritual understanding. Where Jacob wrestled with God at Peniel, and his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, where we read, in Genesis 32 and in verse 24 to 28, it was a specific place. It was a specific place. So, positioning at the right location is critical for divine visitations. Moses had been roaming around the wilderness for years. He tended the flock of Jethro for 40 years in that wilderness. Until one day, he came to the backside of the desert, to the specific place called the mountain of God. You see that? Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. He came, he had been. And Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain, particular, even to Horeb. And that was where the encounter took place. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say louder, amen. Somebody say louder, amen. the disciples had to be in the upper room. That particular visitation was upper room specific. There were 120 people sharp. And not one person mistakenly got what these people got outside the upper room. Am I communicating at all? Very, very important. Very, very, very important. Very important. That's why we go to physical locations. In Psalm 133, if you read it all the way to from verse 1 to the end, say, "How behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the bed, even Aaron's bed, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord," that particular place, "the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." There is a place of the commanded blessing. There is a place where the blessing is under a mandate. There is a place where encounters are mandated, where blessings are mandated, where visitations are mandated. For there, the Lord commanded the blessing. Somebody said, "But when Moses prayed, when God wanted to take the anointing from Moses, the spirit from Moses, there were two people that were outside that place, Eldad and Medad, and they received the impartation." That is a rare occasion that happened, to the best of my knowledge, only once. And that dropped for just two people. Compare two with 70 or 68. So it is possible for people to have encounters wherever they find themselves on their own. But the concentration of encounters, visitations happen at locations. Am I communicating? I know the number of people that get healed on this ground versus the number that get healed on their own. I know the number of people that get it. That is, you will see it tomorrow morning. That is instant, immediate visitation. He said, "Just as we're praying now, I saw the pastor left that altar there, met me where I was, and touched me, and something happened. Child with a hole in the heart. I saw the pastor left where he is, came to where I was carrying the child, breathed upon the child, and the hole in the heart is healed. And everything, all on the spot, on the same spot." Am I communicating? It is easy to me sit at home and watch it. But it's a different matter altogether on the ground. On the ground. There are people who have slept on this ground once or twice. And they say, "What an open heaven. What an open heaven." When this building was constructed, being constructed, I went to the top of the building a couple of times. The roof, the deck, where the deck is. I will lay down for 15 minutes. I will see like five things on there in rapid succession. Just in rapid succession. So I will go and lay down there on the concrete floor just for the sake of seeing something. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? In rapid succession. It's the place of the commanded blessing. So I want you to understand, in case you are still contemplating, be on your way physically. That is for those who say, "Oh, let me sit at home." And except you can't do otherwise. But if it is possible to be physically present with the brethren, and then, now there is one thing to have the location. There is another thing to have the location in the association of the brethren. In the company of your brethren, the unction multiplies many, 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 many times. Somebody here, you will not miss what you are here for. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. If you are saying amen, shout the louder believers, amen. Shout amen at the top of your voice. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? So, there is the need for positioning at the right location. And I'm happy, I congratulate you. Because if I don't know anything, I know that this is a place of very, very drastic encounters. I've seen men of God, big men of God. Some are ahead of us in ministry by way of when they started. One pastor the other day, and he said to me, "Pastor, I didn't come to see you. I only came to pray on this altar." I said, "Go ahead, sir." He said, "So when I'm through, I'll be on my way." I said, "Go ahead, sir." And he came, lay down on the altar. I went to continue my assignment. And he finished his praying and went his way. He has done that to my notice at least two or three times. Comes into town, passed through here, said, "I just came here to pray on this altar." Only him knew that what happened to him the last time he came and prayed on the altar. Am I communicating at all? I'm not talking of somebody struggling for church growth or struggling for ministry impact. I'm talking of somebody affecting his generation. Am I communicating at all? Listen to me. I prophesy to somebody here today. A new season is upon your life. 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 Something will happen to you on this ground before the days are over. Shout the loudest, amen. Please be seated as we proceed. Time is almost off. That was number three. We have sensitivity. Okay, the perception of need, sensitivity to divine timing, positioning at the right location. Number four is desperate desire. When all the things are in place, there must be a desperation of desire. The type of desperation that filled the heart of Elisha. In 2 Kings chapter 2, when Elijah was to be taken up to heaven, and he asked Elisha, "What do you want me to do for you before I am taken?" And in verse 10 of 2 Kings chapter 2, and he said, we can start from verse 8, and he said, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together, and they smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away." Now, the desperation here, the sons of the prophets decided, tried their best to stop him, but he was unstoppable. We saw the desperation of Jacob at Peniel. "I will not let you go until you bless me." God does not give encounters to the casual. Encounters belong to the desperate. You cannot be casual and have anything that is of lasting value. If your life must end glorious, you must begin serious. Desperate. Don't forget that desperation is key to divine visitation. And desperation is a magnet of mantle. What did I say? Desperation is a magnet of mantle. It's a magnet of mantle. I think I've told you before that Elijah did not drop any mantle for Elisha. Did Elijah drop a mantle? You don't remember. What happened to the mantle? He fell. He didn't drop it. I don't know whether the man wanted to go with it. Second Kings chapter 2 and in verse from verse 12. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "And my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own cloth and rent them in two pieces. And then he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. Not that he dropped. There is a difference between Elijah dropping it and it falling. I think that Elijah did not want to spoil Elisha. Because for Elijah, it didn't come very casual. Only Elijah knew whatever he did with God before that mantle came. I know at least one thing that Elijah did was one day he was without food for 40 days. The angel only brought him food at the end. 40 solid days. Am I communicating at all? Then what made the mantle to fall? It was magnetic desire. Desperation is a magnet of mantle. If your desire is desperate, even the carrier of the mantle is helpless in case he doesn't want to deliberately release it. If your desire is desperate, I said even the mantle carrier is helpless in the matter. In case he doesn't willingly want to release it for you. That's right. Now, I am talking to you from experience. Take yourself. One day, one of the foremost leaders of the move of God in this country, one of the most heaviest carriers of the mantle, was to pass through our church. For a program. And I said, this person that I've been hearing about for a long time and I've seen for a long time cannot pass here like that. So until I meet him, food cannot cross this mouth. Something must drop. Day one, day two, day three. That is, meeting is on like this. I am preaching and other, but no food. Until the man stepped on the altar and began to mean, and I was still very desperate and very restless. In my mind, if he passes here and something does not drop, I am not of God. It must drop. It must drop. The law is a law. Desperation is a magnet of impartation. And something dropped. Dropped massive. I entered that program like an attack. It was like a fight. It was like fighting a fight to finish. It was like fighting a fight. You won't fight again. If you lose it this time, you won't fight again. After that, we have met many times, hands laid many times. But that first one, take your seat. I told you the story before. Because examples communicate principles. Rehabonke of blessed memory was going to a state in Makodi, in Benue State over here, like 4 hours drive from here, and he was to land at Abuja Airport. The person who was a protocol committee chairman of the crusade is my sister, coordinating the protocol in that state, and she called me and she said, Rehabonke is passing through Abuja City for a crusade in Benue State, and I am the protocol committee chairperson. I'm meant to receive him at the airport. Can you help us receive him for us? I say, help? I should be thanking you. You are the one helping me. I'm not the one helping you. You are the one helping me. I'm not helping you. Thank you for this opportunity. Do you know what we did? I positioned everything that is possible. We picked him from the airport. We had meant to take him straight to Makodi, but for one reason or the other, okay, can you pass the night in Abuja? Just rest before going to the book Sheraton Hotel for him. And then he went in there and passed the night in Abuja for one night. Am I communicating? The following day, he was about to leave. I presented him some little token in foreign currency, presented him a watch, and in my mind I said, he is on time. I want to be on time. I want to fulfill my life assignment within my lifetime. Are you following what I'm saying here today? And I said, sir, can you pray for me? My heart was desperate. He laid his hands and he said, oh Lord, what you saw, how you felt when you were sending Jesus to die for the world, whatever feeling you had in your heart, give him a little portion of it. He said, Jesus, when you hung on the cross and you are dying for the world, what you felt for the world while you are dying, can you give him a little portion of it? And he laid his hands. Bam! I felt the electricity. I was meant to go with them for a crusade that day. But I said, I cannot go. Okay, hotel. Housekeepers, don't branch near that room. Don't clean the room. Don't change the bed sheet. Leave the bed like that. I extend the booking for one more day. I dived into that bed, under that bed sheet. For the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours, I was any unction that laid here, I connect. I pray, sit there, I fell asleep. I woke up, I continued the prayer. Day till night till morning. In the middle of that, I saw revelations of drastic manifestations. In the middle of that. That is, I saw realms of manifestations I had not seen before that time in Revelation, on that bed. So when we talk of desperation, I know what I'm talking about. And my life and ministry has never remained the same. Rehabonki Crusade Director, after I saw the clips of our crusades this year, he said, Father, thank you, because even though Rehabonki is gone, the spirit of mass evangelism is still in Africa. He said, I'm going to send this clip to all our team to let. He said, I will send this clip to all our team. He said, this looked to me like one of our crusades. He said this, when he saw the clip, the one he just saw, he said, this looks to me like one of our crusades. We went to dedicate, church dedication in Taraba, what do you call it? Bayelsa State. We just dedication, one day dedication of church. The crowd outside became crusade crowd. Can you show us that clip? This three, about 5 weeks ago. That is his church you came to dedicate. ICT, I'm sorry for taking you by surprise, but I'm sure you are living ready. Until we extended the program by one more day. One of the pastors in Bayelsa said, sir, this shows that this place is ready for crusade. See the people outside. Desperation. God will not bother you with what does not bother you. God will never bother you with what does not bother you. Where you don't have interest, there you can have harvest. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? It works any day, anytime, anywhere. He will never bother you. So, what is it? What is it? What is it that is of interest to you? What is it that is of concern to you? What is it that is the passion of your heart? Desperate desire. Desperate desire. Please take your seat. After desperate desire, if the clip is ready, you let us know. After desperate desire, number 5 is Unbroken focus. Unbroken. Focus is key to fire. Unbroken focus. Elijah said, Elijah told Elisha, if you see me when I am taken, 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 10, then what you are asking can be yours. If you see me when I am taken, if you see me, is talking about focus. When the sons of the prophets try to discourage him, do you know that God will take your master from you today? He said, I know it, hold your peace. I know it, hold your peace. Focus. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 verse 1, they were all with one accord in one place. One accord in one place. One accord in one place. Only one thing occupies their mind. Only one thing occupies their mind. Only one thing occupies their mind. Focus is key to fire. And focus is key to impact. Is God speaking to anybody here? This is not for some of us who came into this conference from another country. Please know why you are here. Know why you are here. So that nobody just say, oh, let me take you. Can you do some just social visit and just... It's possible to do all of that. It's very, very possible. If you have achieved what you came here for. If you have achieved what you came here for. It's possible. My wife knows that one day they were in America, Chicago, and then I don't know what we went out for in the shop. And when we got in there, I saw saxophone in the okay. I said, well, how much is this saxophone? Can you give it to me? So I said, can I play it? So I began to play saxophone inside the shop. Then since my soul, the whole place filled with divine presence. The climate in the shop changed. Prayed for people, did all manner of things. And then it was time for me to return back to the hotel. Went to somewhere else. Said, let's go shopping. After we came out, I felt like a fish out of water. Said, can you people just refund me back to the hotel place? Just refund me and continue your shopping. Now, focus is very, very important. Those who gist while service is on, you don't know what you miss. Even if it is legitimate. Somebody is trying to ask you, please, what did he say just now? Can you help me? Let me write it down. Or somebody, my pen has finished. You better carry extra pen. Or something. Because while he is asking you a question, a word may land that is what you need at that time. And the devil understands seasons. If all he did is to make somebody talk to you when your word is coming, then he succeeded. When what is to change your life is coming. And somebody say, please, my watch stops working. What time? By the time you have told him the time, you have lost your own time with God. Focus. When you are focused, you may appear antisocial. When you are focused, you may appear as if you are proud or arrogant. When you are focused, people may think, there's no name some people haven't called us. They claim that they are holier than others. They claim that they are this and that. They claim that they are this and that. All manner. But I am not on earth to please a man. And I cannot please people and displease my maker and displease my own self. I will exercise my conscience to be void of offense before God and before man. And if I do what I need to do to the best of my knowledge before God, and you are not happy with it, to hell. I was talking to someone some time ago, and he was talking in a way that was very, very rough. And I I gave him an adequate reply response. And he said something that so and so is his opinion. And I said, your opinion doesn't matter at all. If I don't know who I'm serving, and I don't know who I am, then I'm wasting my time. Somebody say amen. Amen. There are times you off your phone by focus. While they serve, there are times I pray for all the prayer requests that will enter my phone in advance. Lord, I'm about to off this phone because I need to focus and pray. Anybody who has an emergency that needs prayer, please answer him in advance. Because I may face that and my destiny may fade away. The reason why anybody is looking for me is because they think God is with me. By the time they realize that God is not with me, they begin to look for somebody else. So I must keep God with me. Not just for their sake, but for my sake. Somebody say amen. Amen. Lift your right and say, Father, the grace for focus I receive. In the name of Jesus, I cannot be distracted. I refuse to be distracted. I reject distraction. In Jesus' precious name. They are about to show you that crusade. That church dedication. That's church dedication. Church dedication. That is people that sat outside to witness dedication of it. Do you understand that? People who sat outside for church building to be dedicated. In a state that is distant from here. And what that says to us is that is ripe for open air crusade. You won't live here the same. That is mandatory. Something is dropping on somebody. If you are that somebody, your amen will be the loudest. If you are that somebody, your amen will be the loudest. Unbroken focus. Unbroken focus. Number six now is definite expectation. Now you have a desperate desire for something to happen to you. You are focused and your focus is undivided. Something must happen. The question now is, what in particular are you looking for? What particularly are you looking for? You must be decisive and definite to experience divine visitation. I will not let you go until you bless me. That was Jacob's own. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. What kind of mercy? Should I give you money? No, that I may receive my sight. Definite. What do you want from me, Elisha? A double portion of what you carry. But I want to warn some people, before you ask for double portion, you must have paid your dues. Elisha served for 21 years before he could ask for a double portion. It's very, very important. So you must identify. Lord, as a person, I want to know you more than I have known from this conference. Lord, as a ministry, I am tired of stagnation. We must grow. Lord, I want my giftings to explode. Teaching, apostolic, healing, deliverance. prophetic, whatever. Lord, I want contending altars to die before this program ends. Altars fighting my life and my destiny. I am aware that from my background they are fighting. That where the church is positioned, they are fighting. Let them expire. So you must be and when you leave here tonight, Shakobagadagalagaga. When you leave here tonight, before you sleep, tomorrow morning we are here by 6 a.m. Anyway, 6 a.m. Before you sleep, I said, why am I here? If I am to look back to this conference, what will I write down happened to me? Identify them drastic. It is only what you can define that you deserve. And it is only what you can describe that God can deliver. You don't deserve it if you can't define it. God will not deliver it if you can't describe it. You won't even be able to discover it if you cannot define it. You won't be able to discover it if you cannot describe it. When it happens, you won't know what happened. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say the Lord must amen. Very, very definite. Very definite. Very definite. Very definite. Very, very definite. If we are to position for a divine encounter, we must be very, very definite. And number 7, which is not the last, is passionate praying. Passionate. Passionate praying. Passionate praying. Praying from the heart. The kind of prayer that Hannah prayed. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 10. Her lips moved. She prayed and wept Saul. She vowed a vow. Verse 13. Her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Passion. Fire. The kind of prayer that Jacob prayed from our text. The kind of prayer the apostles prayed. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They continued with one accord, with in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with the brethren. They continued. Acts chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 4. Passionate praying. Zekoko bagarada kakadash. Lakateke perokotoko yugo bagadaka. Zakalaka parakataka shakoko baradaka. Now the strange thing is not just the mammothness of the crowd, but the strangeness of miracles. 50 years blind, open, bent over, walking with face down for 30-something years, like that woman in the Bible for 18 years, straightened on the spot. All manner of frightening manifestations. In a current child that is, the doctor already said, come and carry the child, she can't leave. Already on oxygen. About to be discharged to take her to go and bury. Was in Federal Medical Center or what? While we were ministering in a current town. Somebody told, I think they connected the phone or something. This child was born crippled. 7 years. Has never walked all his life. This king that is about to come now, traditional ruler, paramount first class chief, deaf in the ear, healed on the spot. Now, what happened? God healed that girl. Doctor was shocked, came alive in the hospital. And the woman came to testify. He said, God has had mercy on me, even though I am a sinner. My husband is a sinner. I am committing my own adultery. He is committing his own adultery. That's what she is saying on the altar. Yet God overlooked it and healed our child. I will serve this God forever. That was what she said from the altar. Right there. Drastic miracle. Is somebody ready for a visitation tonight? Are you ready for a visitation? Is it okay if this whole week passes and nothing happens to you? Stand up on your feet. Lift up your hands and your voice and just begin to pray and just begin to talk to God. This is a pre-convention charge. Lift your hands, lift your voice, and let's begin to honor the King of Kings and honor the Lord of Lords and honor the I Am that I Am, the El Shaddai, the El Ayon, the Ropeka, the Mekadesh. Honor him, worship him, adore him, magnify him. Father, we praise you. Father, we praise you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Father, we magnify you. Be thou glorified. Be thou honored. Be thou adored. Thank you. And thank you. And thank you. And thank you. Worship him. Honor him. Adore him. Glorify him. Father, we love you. Father, we love you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Lift your hands and say, Father, I perceive my need for your visitation. Father, and I know this is the season for divine visitation. Thank you, Lord, because I am positioned at the right location for a visitation. Father, I desperately desire a visitation. Father, I receive the grace for unbroken focus, undivided focus. Father, my expectation is definite. My life must change. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for a change of story right now. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Some people on the mic pray for the next 7 minutes. 7 minutes. 7 minutes. Blast in tongues. A change of story. A change of story. A change of story. A change of story. Mashada Mayala. Open your mouth and speak to God. A change of story. Pray. A change of story. 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 Manada yada yada yada. Leke pere kese tola na bayada. Zora na magada yada la hashani. Le pere ni la gaza gada yada la manada. Ese pora na magada yada. Le kasa parana na sarana na goloya. Na goloya na marani ga gaza galila. Le pere na sana na manada gada yada la husha. Le pere te sika rina gada yada la. Re te seka rina galito rana marisha. Let the second lane of the Let the second right to run. Get out of my Thank you. Everywhere you are, and just receive something tonight. Is you perceive something is about to happen? It's already happening. Lift your hands and just receive something tonight. Father, we give you the praise. Lift your hands everywhere you are. If you are able to be on your feet, be on your feet. There is already an encounter this night. That's right. That's right. Lift those hands high. Listen to what I'm hearing. Listen, lift your hands high. For someone here who is very, very desperate, what God will do with you tonight and overnight, to you it will appear as if the conference has finished. Help her, help her, help. It will appear as if the conference has finished. By what God will do, by what He will draw upon you tonight, is dropping upon you, is dropping upon you, is something is dropping upon somebody connected via the satellite, the internet. It is dropping. Lift your hands high and maintain quietness everywhere if you can. Lift your hands high. God is giving people foundational encounters. Encounters that will lay the foundation for what He will do. Revelatory encounters. Visionary encounters. Open heaven encounters. Even third heaven encounters. Lift your hands high. That's right. You didn't even travel all the way from Ghana in vain. From Ireland in vain. No. From Canada in vain. No! From Zambia in vain. No. Lift your hands up. Whisper that name, Jesus. Engage. Yes. Lift your hands high now, and at the count of three, you will place the hand on your head and scream, "I receive." Receiving encounters that prepare you for the rest of the download. I receive. Some people tonight, it will be a night of victory because the Lord will show you battles that have been fighting you, and the battles will end in victories overnight. He will show you the deliverance you are receiving from ancestral altars and the things fighting your destiny. He will show you altars that are catching fire tonight. Lift your hands, Father. Gadaya da 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 hash. Ike balara da da hashara da. Mashakeda rana na saroda galala. At the count of three, you place your hand on your head and scream, "I receive," and something will drop. Father, let it drop now. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3. Receive. I receive. I receive. Receive it. Receive, receive, receive His hand on your life. Receive His hand on your life. Receive His touch on your life. La ya 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 ya. Let receive the touch of His power on your life. Shall it be? Wave your hands and give Him the praise. Give Him the praise. Give Him the honor. Give Him the adoration. Give Him the worship. Something happened tonight. Thank you, Master. Give the Lord a bigger clap as you take your seat.